Morning, church, friends and family. How are you today? Way to go. Good response. Excellent. My name is Darren. I mentioned that a moment ago, but if you're our guest today, we want to say a special welcome to you. If you're from here close or somewhere across our city, or if you're in from another state, it's our honor to be with you. I serve as one of our pastors here at Houston Northwest, and our pastor, Steve, and his wife, Joy, will be returning to Houston tomorrow. Some of you may be unaware, but early last week, Joy, our pastor's wife, Joy's mother, Gail Leatherwood, went to be with the Lord. She's a faithful servant, a lover of Jesus Christ, committed to the body of Christ and the people of the Lord, as well as the people throughout her years. And so yesterday, they celebrated her life outside of Dallas, in the East Dallas area, and they'll be returning tomorrow. Pastor Steve has been leading us through a six-week series or session out of the book of Daniel. And so I have the privilege of filling his shoes today. I've told him as he invited me for this opportunity, I've told several others, just so you know, I'm shooting for average today. When you don't do this all the time, it's a little bit out of the ordinary. I believe that we have an awesome and amazing, as well as godly and committed pastor that does such a great job. So I told the Lord, man, if you can get me to average, you can get anything, you can do everything else, but just don't let me collapse in front of everybody. So it's a pleasure to be with you. So you may be aware of this already, but Sunday, for preacher dudes and ministry people, it's a work day. So we get up and we start thinking about work. Now, for many of you, if you don't work on Sunday, you're thinking, awesome, it's another day not to think about work. So we're thinking about work. And so as I drove in this morning, I noticed that, you know, there's probably lots of guys, and in some cases women, men and women around our city preparing for work today. They're going to be in churches all over our area. They're going to be all across our city, all across our state, all across our nation, all across the world. I thought, wow, I'm just one of those dudes. There's a lot of us. Then I started thinking a little broader. And I realized, even though today is Sunday, traditionally for believers, for Christians, a day of worship, it's not that for everyone. Even today, I drove past the CVS just down the street from me. It was getting ready to open. There's always one car on Sunday when I'm driving by. It's that person that gets the early duty. I always think, I wonder who that person is. I wonder if it's the same person every week. Either way, those are just some of my personal thoughts. You have them too, so just bear with me in my personal moment. And then I started thinking as I went further, there's more people that are work. There are people opening restaurants, preparing for some of you that went to breakfast early so that you could be really comfy for your nap, for church. On the next corner, there was a donut shop. In the early service, quite a few people said amen to the donut shop. Then I rounded the corner and I noticed there was a lawn care service, truck and trailer and haul. They were going to work on Sunday. I noticed a little bit further some other people in other areas of business, and I realized, wow, there are a lot of people going to work today. And most of them are great people. They love life. They're pretty committed to their job. They might really like their boss. They might even be the boss and really like their employees. They're just like you and me. They're going to work today. They're going to work tomorrow. They're going to work the next day and the next day and the next day. And one of the things that struck me as I had been preparing and then for this moment and then thinking about those people and their work habits, most of us aren't spectacular day in and day out in our work. We're good. We're committed. We might be above average. Sometimes we might end up being a little below average. But we're pretty normal people. Life is full of routine. I bet most of you get up at the exact same time every single day, even on days when you don't set your alarm. Don't you hate that? You're either got an alarm clock going off or a four-year-old barreling down the hallway, screaming for Fruit Loops at 5:17 in the morning. Lots of routine. We get up, we get moving, we get dressed, we head out, we work. Lots of us work around our city. Some work from home. Others work with children, adults, processes, equipment. Lots of routine. We probably most, for the most part, work really hard, desire to do well, but I just kept being reminded that spectacular is hard to do. Matter of fact, if you are spectacular every day, your spectacular becomes just routine. So I've noticed this about my street. My neighbor across the street, he gets lots of UPS packages. I mean, a lot. I always think, man, I'd like in on some of that action. I don't know what he's getting, but he gets a lot of it. I've never seen this. I've never heard the UPS truck round the corner and noticed either myself or my neighbors throwing open the doors and running to the curb and hollering, "Go UPS man, that's the greatest delivery ever!" Now, the early hour, there was a UPS man sitting right here where that gentleman is. His name was Robert. He threw up his hands and he said, "That's me." We all gave him a round of applause. We just do work. As I studied chapter 6, and I've been sitting in your seat for the last 5 weeks learning about this man named Daniel and these kings and this circumstance and this culture, I've realized that nowhere in this passage does Daniel signify himself as really amazing, as wonderful, as somebody greater or above everyone else. He just continued to live and to act routine day in and day out. But I noticed, and I have been noticing, that Daniel's routine gives us an amazing example of how to walk with the Lord. I want you to see with me today as we read out of the 6th chapter of the book of Daniel a few things this morning. And we're going to move through them at a pretty fair rate. Chapter 6, verse 1. The scripture reads, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them 3 high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give account, so that the king might suffer no loss." In verse 3, "Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Then the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom." Then if you would, just jump down your passage a few verses to verse 16, 17, and 18. And let's pick up in verse 16. "Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, 'May your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you.' And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his place and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him." This Daniel is an amazing person. The more you and I learn about him, read about him, contemplate the example that he has given, he is an amazing person. As I read these verses and I reflected back to the first 5 chapters, in chapter 1, we are told by the author of this book that while in Jerusalem and prior to captivity, Daniel was a very bright, intelligent, gifted person. Then, as the armies of Nebuchadnezzar arrived and overtook Jerusalem and carried the captives back to the kingdom, it was pointed out that Daniel was one of many intellectuals, very gifted, capable. And so those young men were brought to the king's palace to help educate, not only within his own culture, but to be educated. All of this time in these chapters, as we're reading about Daniel, his life is changing. Things are changing around him. He's enduring different challenges in leadership and in trial. And in these first four verses, we realize that in the midst of all this, Daniel maintains an amazing focus. He is out of his home culture. He is under a foreign king. He is living in a different premise with different processes and different people that he just years before had never known. But yet in all of this, we see that Daniel is a person of integrity. This is the first thing that I want you to be aware of from this passage today, that Daniel is a person of integrity. By definition, such a person is one who has a firm adherence to some type of moral code. Not just adherence to it, but a soundness. He or she, that person, understands their code. They have committed themselves to that adherence, to their belief. But not only soundness, it is defined by an incorruptible determination to follow through on that at all cost. Now, as a believer, I wonder if I'm such a man. I try to be. I think that I am. Every now and then I hear a story about someone in the world that is being persecuted for the name of Jesus. And I hear their stories, their challenge, their trial, their harm. And I wonder if Darren Carver were in such a circumstance, if I were pressed that hard, if I were on the verge of harm or even death, would I be willing, would I be able, would I be courageous enough to be such a man of integrity? Daniel was such a man. Matter of fact, if you think about those people in his life and what the scripture has told us about him, there are a number of places where Daniel proves this. Matter of fact, in Daniel chapter 1, in verse 8 and 13 following, he is requested to adhere to a special diet or to the king's diet, and he chooses to address his superiors, those around him, and to ask, I have a special diet. I believe it is a healthy diet. Not only healthy, it makes me strong. It is what my belief has encouraged me to do. So he makes this request. His request is granted. But not only in chapter 1, but also in chapter 2, verse 17 through 19, Daniel is given the king's dream, and he is told to interpret it. Now, I don't know about you, but I have enough problems with my own dreams. How about you? I mean, dreams are crazy stuff. And Daniel is brought in before King Nebuchadnezzar and told, along with those that had come before him, you're going to determine and you're going to interpret my dream, or it's going to cost you your life. Well, that's a bit of stress. I don't know about you, but that would make me nervous. Daniel immediately begins to pray and seek the Lord. Matter of fact, in that passage of chapter 2, you can read that the first thing that Daniel did was to seek the Lord's wisdom. He was a person of integrity, sticking to, adhering with the code of faith that he had been brought to follow. So in Daniel 1 and Daniel chapter 2, but also in Daniel chapter 5, just last week, I sat in your seat just as you are today and listened to Pastor Steve talk about the handwriting on the wall. The one hand, not the arm in the hand, not the body in the arm in the hand, just the hand moving around in the air, writing on the wall. Now that would freak you out. And if it wouldn't, I'm not certain what kind of things you watch on TV, but that would freak me out. I'm guessing it freaked everybody out, but Daniel was a man of integrity. So he asked and he pondered and then he responded. in his response, interpreting the dream and explaining what it was, the king had told him, if anyone can do this, I will lavish you with purple garments and gold and silver and power and prestige. That sounds pretty good. But Daniel said, because he was a man of integrity, because he adhered to a code of belief, he said to the king, King, thank you, but I will do this in service to you without such reward. I don't know who you think about, but I think about men and women that have displayed such integrity in my own life. Sometimes in earlier service, and this one as well, I can't see every face, but I can see many of your faces. Some of you are the men and the women that live righteously before me, that help me desire and know how to be a man of integrity. Certainly, I fail at that pretty regularly, but I have great examples. Not only on this corner, but in other places where the Lord has given us the opportunity to serve and to be a part of great bodies of believers, I think of men and women faithful from beginning to end that spur me on to be such a person of integrity. I go back to when I was in college and in high school and even in grade school, and I remember the names of people that have encouraged me to learn and to be a person of integrity. I'm wondering right now, who's in your thought processes? I'm guessing there are men and women, grandparents and parents, neighbors and bosses, coworkers and neighbors, childhood friends and their families, churchmen, churchwomen, pastors, whoever those people may be, I'm guessing that right now you can think of those persons of integrity that have given a guide to you, that have moved you through life. And in those type of moments, as we are learning, such as Daniel, to live out integrity, we realize that this is an amazing gift. Not only are we striving to live in integrity, but God has taken great steps to allow us to do so, to provide opportunity for us, to work in and among us so that we can be those type of men and women. I don't know about you, but I wonder what my life will look like towards the end. What does all of God's work in me look like? But I know that he's working in me. Matter of fact, as I worked this week for this moment, I thought of the children's song, God's Still Working on Me. Now, I don't know. I couldn't really see hands, and I don't know if I asked for hands in the first hour, but I don't know if anyone else knows that song in this room, if it was on some little 45 CD I had when I was 7 or 4, I don't know, but I've remembered these words. I jotted them down. He's still working on me to make me what I need to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth, and Jupiter and, way to go, Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. Wow. I'm telling you what, when I think about a simple kid's song like that, it does a lot for me, because I don't know about you, but I'm far from perfect. Any of you know me, please keep your comments to a minimum. Every now and then as I read, I just make a note of a verse that jumps out, for some reason stands out in that time of reading. And I write them down and I put them in a stack of note cards. One of those verses that stood out to me 2 or 3 years ago as I read through Proverbs chapter 10 is this verse: he who walks in integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will be found out. I look back down at the page, I remember it very vividly, and I remember saying, Darren Carver, if you want to be a man who walks in integrity, do so. The result is you will walk securely. Make sure not to pervert your ways, because if you do, you'll be found out. Integrity is often not only in public, but in secret. But when you and I determine to be men and women, children of integrity, the Lord works in us and through us. John Cummings wrote, "It is when the world sees Christianity softening all, sweetening all, subduing, sanctifying, inspiring, directing all things, when the world sees Christianity giving its tone, its shape, its color, and freshness to all, it is when the world sees Christianity in self-sacrifice, in submitting our own temper and inclinations to those of others, in giving way and suffering, rather than appearing to dictate and presume, it is the quiet bypass of human life that Christianity acts with the greatest of force, and in which, if detected by the skeptic, he owns that there is the finger of God, the evidence of a power greater and holier than human." So Darius saw this man we refer to as Daniel. He watched him in every area of his life live out his firm adherence to his faith and belief. It changed the heart of Darius. The second thing I want you to see today is that Daniel not only is he a person of integrity, he is a person of prayer. Look back with me in the scripture passage to chapters 10 and 11. Beginning in verse 10 in chapter 6, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber, open towards Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Verse 11, then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. I love this part of the passage. My favorite part is verse 10 when he says, when Daniel knew the document had been signed. That's kind of a simple phrase. I just get a kick out of it. Here is this guy of integrity. Here is a guy of prayer. There is all kinds of work going around in the king's chamber. Within the halls of government, if you will, Daniel being a significant person in that grouping, yet excluded and isolated from this conversation. And as the conversation carries on, it continues to move of the satraps and others plotting against Daniel. Certainly, he still can view what is happening. Certainly, he is catching statements and noticing actions of what is happening. And then there comes this moment when all of the things come to conclusion and the king's edict is, if anyone prays or worships anyone other than me, King Darius, then they will be thrown into the lion's den. And from a distance, Daniel has watched this. He has listened to this. He has been a witness to this. And when the document is signed, when it is signed, not a minute early, not a minute late, excuse me, I would like to go pray. It is what he was told not to do. It is what he was just watching, witnessing. It is exactly what he understood he should not do. Not a minute early, not a minute late. He takes his steps immediately and he goes for his place of prayer. And there in the following verses as we read, he did what he did three times a day. He knelt down and he began to pray. And from that, he did not change his strategy or his habit or his routine. Nothing spectacular about it. No trumpets blowing, no bright lights flashing, just Daniel walking to his place of prayer. And there he prayed. And it doesn't indicate that he just prayed once and the guys were watching through the window and off they scurried back to King Darius. It suggests that he continued to pray day after day, and after an appointed time, which is not specific in the text, then the satraps and the governors and those others that had plotted against him, then they made their way to Darius. And Darius is confused and upset, and in all honesty, he's in a sense saddened by this. What I want you to be reminded of is the fact that Daniel went and prayed. I don't know about you, and maybe you're better at this than I am, but the reality is lots of things happen in my world. Sometimes they're very significant. Sometimes they're just regular, average. Sometimes they're insignificant. But often I think, I wonder what I would do about that. That sounds kind of challenging. What would Darren Carver do? Well, let's draw on my intelligence. Well, that'd get us a little ways, but not a long ways. So then let's go draw on the intelligence of other people. Let's ask this friend and this friend and this friend. Let's ask this pastor buddy and this minister friend. And let's get as much input as we can. And Darren, what would you do now? Because you have all of this input. And most of it is random and different because of different perspectives and personalities and all of those things. So then I think, okay, what else would I do? Well, maybe I'll read a book about it, or I'll read an article. I know what I'll do. I'll go home and I'll ask Patty Carver, and most of the time I listen. But not always, because even my spouse sometimes doesn't answer the way the Lord would want. So I get all of that input, and then I realize, you know what? I should have started with the Lord. Now, maybe and hopefully you don't have those same processes, but you know what? I bet we're pretty similar in that. Daniel said, here's the king's edict. As soon as it is signed, I'm not going to ask my friends. I'm not going to ask my neighbors. I'm not going to consult my family. I'm just going to get on my knees before the Lord. I want to remind you, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord is working at all times. Psalms 55, 17 says, but I call to God, and the Lord will save me, evening and morning and at noon. I utter my complaint and moan, and he hears my voice. Two things that happen or are necessary for us to hear the voice of God. First, we must sense our own personal limitations. Our own personal limitations. I'm not a large framed man. This isn't a secret since I'm standing in front of you today. I'm about 5'8 with my shoes on. I weigh a whopping 165. Whopping. Average intelligence, average background, grew up in an average town, bought an average first car. I married way above average. The reality is, I'm not a big enough man to handle all the things that life is going to throw at me. I could make my muscles in front of you right now, but you'd laugh, so I'll choose not to. But the reality is no matter how strong we think we are, how courageous you might have determined you have trained yourself to be, no matter how experienced in the challenges and difficulties of life you believe you have prepared, the fact is when you get the phone call and someone says, you're at stage 4 cancer, all of the muscle that is within your body, all of the intelligence that is within your mind, all of the senses that are within your body and within your physical structure, all of those are good and well, but they cannot take cancer away from you. When you are a mother and you and your spouse make it to the hospital for the third appointment and the doctor says there's something wrong, we believe that your baby has passed. Or even a greater challenge when you go for delivery and you have waited 9 months and something transpires at that moment that devastates your world, and your baby isn't born, there is no muscle in your bicep strong enough to carry you. When someone in your family notifies you that Alzheimer's is beginning to impact your loved one and the journey ahead is difficult, or when you are called by the highway patrol in the middle of the night and someone tells you that your son or your daughter or your spouse or your parent or your best friend has been killed by a drunk driver, you can put up all the muscles you want, but if you don't pray, you are going to fall short at that moment. In the role that a pastor has, and in a church of our size, everyone owes examples. Has come from great people that I love in this place. There's another 10 on the list. Folks, Daniel was not only a man of integrity, though that is good, it is not who made him. It is not what made him who he was. It was integrity in conjunction with prayer. I wish I prayed more. I'll just be honest with you, prayer is a hard thing. I know people that get up at 4 and 5 in the morning and pray for an hour. I'm not that person. I wonder, God, why am I not? And I realize it's not because of him. I realize it takes discipline to be a man of prayer. Daniel was such a man. We have to learn our personal limitations, but also we have to realize that there is a divine sufficiency in our God. He is capable. In between services, one of the beautiful people that has suffered a great loss in their family from Houston Northwest, I visited with for just a moment out in the atrium. And I told that person this week, working on this sermon, I thought of their family and the tragedy and the loss that has taken place. And that individual, what a dear friend, and what a great desire to walk with the Lord, said to me, "But our God is sufficient." Until we realize that God is sufficient to take care of what we want to do, until we understand that he is sufficient, we won't let him do those things. But when we learn that we are incapable, when we are limited, but God is spectacular in all his ways and all his abilities, when we come to this understanding, then when we pray in his name, for his will, for his kingdom, that unlocks the wonder of a praying person. Daniel was a man of integrity. He was a person of prayer. Daniel also exemplified a person of faith. Hebrews 11:1, many of you know this verse. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, and the conviction of things not seen. Assurance of what is to come. Hope for those things you have never seen. Daniel was such a person. Look at the scripture with me, verses 16 and 17 again this morning. Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you." Now, I don't know about you. I've read this verse a lot of times, to be honest. I've generally read it like this. Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you." And a stone was brought, blah, 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 blah. And this is the lion's den. I know that story. What? I don't know about you, but when call waiting shows someone's name that I've been avoiding for 2 weeks, my blood pressure goes up. It's just a name on a screen. Or when someone is walking through my neighborhood selling windows and I know they're coming, and they saw me walk in from the yard. When I hear the ding, ding, ding of the doorbell, my stress level goes up. I'm guessing you do too. There's some pretty normal stuff in life, but it all makes us nervous. I want you to think for a minute. Daniel, he goes and he prays. The dudes go and tell on him. He's called before the king. He knows what's coming. And it isn't this. And Daniel was called to the king, and the king told him to go to the lion's den, and he got free pizza and, you know, a free movie, and he's good. He's going to the lion's den. And they walk him over, and they roll a stone out of the way. Now, I want you to think about this. The stone is there for a reason. It's not an open come-and-go party in the lion's den. It's closed because generally the lions would be trying to get out, not the general audience that you want to hang out with in the city center. So they roll this stone, and someone throws Daniel in. And I don't know if he falls 1 foot, 10 feet. It doesn't matter. The lions are waiting. Think of the fear, the trembling, the anxiousness that had to be within this man. There's no record of his arguing or fighting. He's just ready to go. You know why? He's a man of faith. He believes that either the Lord will rescue him or the Lord will take him beyond. The Lord will take him home. Either one, pretty good options. As we listened yesterday at the funeral service of Miss Gail Leatherwood, a pastor's wife, a team pastor at her church, a writer of curriculum that some of you in this room over the last 20 years have either listened to or taught in groups at Houston Northwest or other churches. Miss Leatherwood was one of those faithful writers that we have used in our Lifeway material lots of times. At the end of her life, they spoke of at her service that the angels gathered, and like we gather for the birth of a brand new child, the angels gather to receive the spirit, the person of the child of God. I've never heard it put this way. They talked about when we are born, we celebrate. When we die, we grieve. But on the other side of heaven, when the angels are peering down and my life or your life is coming to an end, we're grieving, and the angels are celebrating. Because this is the moment the believer and the angel have waited to unite and to say hello, to shake hands, and to step into the presence of Jesus. This was the type of man, this was the type of faith that Daniel had. The lion has an average bite force of about 700 pounds per square inch. It's about 5 to 6 times stronger than our bite. The paw of a male lion is 10 to 12 inches wide when it's relaxed. I don't know the difference of fear between a relaxed lion's paw and an angry, grumpy lion. Either way, I'm thinking, I don't want any part of that. Daniel walked to the entrance. The Hebrew word is gob. It's the same word used for tomb in the New Testament. And they roll the stone away. Daniel enters. The stone is immediately rolled back. The king goes to his palace, and he anxiously waits overnight, and he returns the next day. And the lions do whatever the lions do. And the next morning, the king comes back, and he says, "Oh, Daniel, are you still there?" And Daniel said, "O king, live forever. The Lord, my God, has delivered me." Woo, woo, wow, praise the Lord. Some people will say, it's just a story. It's a story about the Lord. And then the king does some things in the next few verses where he too elevates, honors, and worships the Lord of heaven. The reality is God is good. The reality is that God is capable. What I want you to note here, in chapter 3, Daniel's friends, and here in chapter 6, neither his friends nor Daniel were saved from the fiery furnace, or from the lion's den. Daniel and his friends were saved in the trials and the tribulations and the greatest challenges of their life. In the midst of those circumstances, God made himself present. If you are one of the men and women today that you are still sheetrocking in your house, you're still looking at a pile of debris on your yard, if you are a person that have lost a loved one, a child, somewhere early in life, earlier than anticipated, if you are one of those persons that are going through great physical or mental struggle, if you are one of those persons that has a loved one or a coworker that is battling cancer, if you are one of those persons struggling to maintain your marriage, if you are one of those persons being bullied at school, and you don't know how you're going to make it another day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, men and women, the reality is God doesn't say, get out of that so I can help you. He says, look up, because I am here to help you in that moment. And he is ready to help. Be encouraged. James wrote, count it all joy, brethren, when you engage various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. How can difficulty be good? Because it reminds us that God is not finished with us. He is working on you. Say with me, he is working with me. He is working with me. Thank the Lord. That is what God is doing. As we get ready to close and to continue in a time of our worship service, I want to just remind you of the story of a great friend, or tell you the story of a great friend here at Houston Northwest Church. Last Thursday, I was going to continue studying and preparing for today, and where I was headed, I passed the street of a dear friend. And I thought it would be crazy of me to be this close to my friend's house and not stop and say hello and just give a word of encouragement. So I pulled onto this young lady's street, knocked on her door. I actually had to ring the doorbell twice. The front door was wide open. I kept thinking, should I open the door and say, hello, hello? But I kept ringing, and I thought, well, that's strange. And pretty soon my friend came to the door, and she said, you caught me cleaning the oven. I thought, well, that's a great pastime for a person of your age and challenged with back issues. And I thought, well, let's sit down and talk for a little bit. And so we did. And this dear friend began to fill in part of her story. Some of it I'd still not heard over the years. And at age 51, this dear friend came to know Christ. Age 51. The next year, she found out that she had cancer in her foot. And so in the mid-80s, she began treatment for that. So in the midst of that harsh chemical treatment to try to eradicate that cancer, they put a block in her hip. I don't understand all that, but that's what they did. And they were hopeful that would keep the cancer from moving up the leg into the hip. The next year, just as you were thinking ahead, she had cancer in her hip. So she began fighting that cancer. A couple years later after that, their adopted son found out that he had liver disease. And for the last 30 years, he's had liver disease. I don't know, about a year and a half ago, her wonderful husband, I sat by his bedside a few days leading up to his passing to go and join the angels in heaven. And just a short time back, her husband passed away. Her house has had water in it either 8 or 9 times. I don't really remember. I thought, man, you ought to get a different house. She laughed about that, and she said she's hoping that FEMA will help her with that this time around. And I just was amazed, because at the end of all these comments, she grinned at me like she always does, and she said, well, Pastor Darren, I'll let you go. I just want you to know God is good. And I thought, what? Did you just tell me all the things you told me? And then you said, oh, God is good. And last Thursday, middle of the morning, I learned a great lesson from a dear friend here at Houston Northwest. Even in the midst of the hardest things, ladies and gentlemen, God is good. He's good. Praise the name of the living God. Daniel gave glory to the Lord. The king gave glory to the Lord. It was decreed that the entire nation give glory to the Lord. Let us be men and women who, through our desire to walk in integrity, to practice prayer, to be men and women of faith, may we, in these final minutes today, let our thoughts and our spirit move to the fact that we want to let God do that in us and through us, so that we can honor him and that our lives and those that see us, watch us, know us, hear us, these two can honor him. Earlier in our service, we had a time of prayer. And so I want to just remind you that if you are here today and you've looked at our info tab, and on the response side of that info tab, there is potentially an area that you have decided that you would like to communicate about. I want to encourage you to fill that out. And as you walk out these doors, greeters, some of our greeting team will be there. Just hand that to one of them. If you'd like to speak to someone today about a spiritual decision, I want to encourage you to walk straight through those back doors that I'm pointing to. Some to your right, others it's to your left. We have a connection center out there. And in that area, we'd love to just pray with you, speak to you about what God is doing in your life. One of the things that God is active among us is that he is always drawing us to know him, to understand his bold love. From time to time, actually, very regularly, people say, I've heard about that God that rescued Daniel from the lion's den. Maybe they've heard about that God that you have told your story. But one way or another, people come and have conversations about praying to receive Jesus Christ themselves into their heart, to forgive their sin, to live within their lives. And those men and women, boys and girls, we speak to and we pray with, and they make a testimony verbally. And they say, I want Jesus to live in my heart, or they pray that. Other ways to express that God is living and active in us and within our own individual lives is, one, to tell other people, but two, is to visibly respond in the act of obedience called baptism. So in the next couple of minutes, we're going to prepare for baptism, and we have someone that is going to be baptized this morning by Pastor Troy McDaniel. We had two persons come to for baptism in the first hour, and Troy is going to lead us in a time of baptism this morning. Let's pray before that happens. Last couple of elements before we dismiss will be baptism, a time of prayer, and then our doxology. So I hope that you'll continue to let the Lord use even the picture of faithfulness through baptism to encourage and spur you on. Father God, we love you and we thank you. Thank you for this individual who has given their life to you. I pray that as you walk them through life's journeys, that they would become a person of integrity, a person of prayer, a person of faith, and that we too might be such men and women. Thank you, Lord, for this public testimony of faith that we are to watch at this moment. Encourage this heart for your kingdom. And in the name of Jesus we pray, amen.
Good morning. We're going to celebrate changed lives in the life of Juliana Reyes, and I believe we're going to see a little bit of her testimony in just a second.
Hi, my name is Juliana Reyes. I am 9 years old, and I go to Frank Elementary School. I've been a member of H&W for about 5 years. I love going to H&W, and I love learning more and more about God. One night, I woke up in the middle of the night scared. I prayed with my dad, and I felt sorry for my sins. Since then, I've learned a lot about God. I'm very excited about getting baptized today.
And Juliana, have you prayed and invited Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior? Yes, we had a chance to talk and visit about that previous to this. And We are so excited and thankful for the way God is working in the lives of kids, parents, husbands, wives. Changed lives is what we're all about. We're thankful for making a changed life in Juliana. And today we celebrate that. And based on your profession of faith in Him, we have the opportunity to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Buried in the likeness of Christ's death, raised to walk in newness with Him. Amen.
Well, H&W friends and family, we celebrate what God is doing in individual lives, in your life, in the family, in the body work of H&W and within our city and around the world. Today, the Lord is drawing millions of people to Himself. May we encourage others to know Him by living a life of integrity, by living a life of prayer, by living a life of faith. And as we conclude our service today, just want to remind you that it is our hope that God's faith will shine upon you, that you will walk in His ways, you will sense His grace and compassion, and that your life will express the wonder of who the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is in you and through me, because He's not finished with us. Yeah, would you stand and sing the doxology with us as we depart? May the Lord bless you. Amen.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Have a blessed week. You're dismissed.